I don't know. It's recording.
Hello, everyone. Nope.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone. Okay.
You ready? No? Mm-hmm. You got your principles about you?
No.
All right, let's go.
Hey, guys. It's Hannah.
And I'm Amber.
This is That's Not Good, a true crime podcast.
A very true crime podcast. It's gonna be wild and crazy and probably emotional and all sorts of mixed feelings. Goodbye. You did the high-voiced intro again.
Hi, guys!
That's why I laughed.
My Prozac is doing it again.
Prozac is Prozacking.
Hello, it's been a minute. How you doing? Hope you're doing well. Don't ask about us. Okay, all right. Hey, man. Not much.
Well, let me take a sip of this here juice.
Mm-hmm. I don't really have anything going on. Do we have any news to update?
Look, news is not going to be our thing for a while here.
Okay? Oh, no. It's just something I got to say.
It's just something we got to say.
I don't think we have any shouter outers either.
Yeah, we do have a shouter outer.
Oh, my God.
Right hold.
I'm sorry. Please start over. I'll shut the fuck up.
Okay, what were you saying?
Shouter outers. Do we have any shouter outers?
We do have some shouter outers.
Let's hear them.
Do you have any shouter outers?
I wanted to shout out Marianne.
Marianne is the tits my gets.
I haven't told her how cool she is, but hey, girl.
Yeah, and also, like, we're wishing her the best. She went through a medical procedure last week. And so she's recovering at home and still trying to walk her dogs and do all the things that Marianne does. And we love her.
Awesome. Hell yeah, Marianne.
Hell yeah, Marianne. Shout her out. All right. This shout her outer goes out to DebN.H.
Okay.
5-star review. If you're looking for something different from the same old storylines, this is the pod for you.
Hell yeah.
There is a great variety, and these ladies aren't afraid to cross borders of extreme. Love this pod.
Hell yeah. That's fucking killer. I love that.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody apparently added a 3-star, too, but, you know, you're going to be a coward and not write a review, so I can't shout you out.
I'm going to be a pussy about it.
You're going to be afraid of me.
Yeah, these are not times to cross. Whoa, I almost put out your full name.
Did you hear me? I did. You said,
We're not
doxing you
that
today.
Again. That's crazy.
My address is Street. I'll have to erase that.
I'm trying to think of literally anything that's happened. And the only thing that I can think of is this hoodie controversy.
Oh, yeah. This hoodie controversy is crazy. I feel like
I got my 1972 Olympics sweatshirt.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly for Halloween so I could be Miss Trunchbull, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I've been going to the grocery store and the elder gentlemen are stopping me and they're like, what, in 1972 when the Israeli wrestlers got captured and executed? And I was like,
I know, like, you're out there just politically offending everybody. Like, what was Matilda thinking putting that in the movie?
I don't know, but imagine being able to politically offend somebody of that age.
That blows my mind that it was even a thing.
Yeah, it was in Munich, Germany. I had to Google it in Kroger one day. This man had me Google it, and he's like, you probably shouldn't wear that. And I was like, you know what? This is
This is from a movie. Anyway. Yeah, so there's that.
That has been now, it's now a home hoodie.
Yeah. Colby Brock.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we need to talk about Colby Brock. From Sam and Colby? Yep, Sam and Colby, who are by far our favorite YouTubers in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we love them, and we're sending, what are we sending? Good vibes, healing vibes, love to Colby. He was diagnosed with testicular cancer. Mm-hmm. He's 26 years old, guys. This, it blows my mind.
Yeah.
But
he seems to be in pretty good spirits.
Yeah, seems to be in pretty good spirits, and they're going to take a nut and see how it goes.
He's really treatable, is what he says. He doesn't.
Yeah.
So we're just.
We're just.
I'm thinking about you.
I'm thinking about you. Obsessively. Relentlessly. At mm-hmm. your service.
Mm-hmm. just kidding. It's not that bad.
No, yeah. If anybody knows Riki, just send some.
Mm-hmm.
Send some.
Yeah.
Some of that. I don't know how that works.
Me either. Send the waves.
All right. Mm-hmm. Let's go.
Okay, this one's kind of beefy. She's a thick girl. She's okay. Today we're going to be talking about Cordell Richards.
Cordell Richards. I've heard this.
And we're going to go back to the 90s. Okay.
Good times.
March 1999.
Oh my God. I was a senior in high school.
What was I doing in 99?
I think you were.
I was like 6.
You weren't 6.
7.
Were you really?
I was born in 92.
Oh my God.
Right. I was born in the late 1900s.
Okay. I was born in the early 1900s. No.
Okay, this one's also pretty graphic, so trigger warning across the board.
What are we getting trigger warnings for?
Trigger warning for aggressive behavior, extreme behaviors.
Okay, bye. No, I'm just kidding.
It's not good, okay?
All right,
we're in Florida, in Okaloosa County, in Fort Walton Beach.
Okay, Florida, check.
A father of two was found beaten, burned, and chained to a tree, and his name was Cordell Richards. Okay?
Okay.
Starting off.
Just right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
Dead guy.
His remains were found in a secluded wooded area. The land was meant for a neighborhood, and at this time there had only been a couple of homes built. Cordell was found by a 12-year-old boy.
No.
Yeah, that's... The boys and his friends were playing army in the woods, and he was trying to get better cover when he found him. So, of course, he runs straight home and tells his parents what he's seen, and they call the police. Police find these remains partly skeletalized, charred, with a large chain and lock keeping him to the tree.
Oh, so they tried to burn him, too?
Uh-huh. With a closer look, they would find his hands tied behind his back with a thick cord, and there was remaining duct tape on his mouth. But it was like...
When you have skeletal remains, the skin starts to...
Yeah. Dr. Michael Berkland was called, and he was the medical examiner at the time. He couldn't even tell what Cordell's sex was because he was so beyond any kind of recognition.
Loading.
Okay. Just take out that pause.
Yeah, I know.
You're like, shut the fuck up. He couldn't find the cause of death other than the obvious burning. The body was out in the elements for quite some time. There was very minimal flesh on the bones and no organs left to be tested. Dr. Berkland did find maggots, so he knew it had at least been 2 weeks. But there's something odd about the maggots because some of them were charred.
What? Somebody came back to try to burn the body.
So he further knew that whoever left him there came back 2 weeks later to burn his body.
Oh my God.
So Cordell was very, very, very carefully transported back to the medical examiner's office, and the body had to stay in its exact position. So it was a pretty tedious process. Mm-hmm. Examination starts on the body. There were multiple skull fractures, blunt force trauma to the shoulder blade, the sternum, and the ribs. I wrote shoulder blade is a weird word.
It really is. It's not a...
Like blade?
Blade.
Really, that's a weird one.
The proper name. We could call it a scapula.
Yeah, let's call it a scapula.
That doesn't sound any better, actually.
Mm-hmm. It don't.
Okay.
He also had defensive injuries on his hands and arms. Dr. Birkeland also found a chop wound to the left neck.
Like an axe chop wound?
Like a...
No.
Just to the neck.
No.
The doctor saying the man is in his mid to late 30s, and he believed they were killed about 1 month earlier, so somewhere around February 4th of 99. When it comes to the cause of death, Dr. Birtland said the manner of death was homicidal violence with combined features of blunt force trauma to the head, body, and upper extremities, and probable chop injury to the left neck. Okay. He also believed he was beaten with some sort of a club. Okay. So the only reason Cordell was ever ID'd is because they were able to get a partial print from his left thumb by soaking it for long enough that it took up enough water so they could just barely get a print.
Wow.
I don't know. Isn't that crazy? And Cordell.
Forensic science is just fascinating.
Yeah. It's a lot more than we think that it is.
Oh, yeah.
Luckily, Cordell was in the Air Force, so he had Prince and Mavis.
Oh.
So they were able to finally ID him that way. Searching the crime scene, they would find the normal type of debris, like trash and stuff like that. But there were clothing items that seemed to belong to Cordell, and there were also tire marks. The crime scene ended up giving no evidence, so that was kind of a dead end for them. Cordell served in the Air Force from 1985 to 1994. He was recently divorced with two young daughters at the time. He had an apartment in Fort Walton, and he worked at the local IHOP. He was reported missing by his friend Martin Stone. He said he realized on February 13th that he hadn't heard from Cordell in over a week. And it wasn't for the lack of trying. He went to Cordell's apartment, and he just couldn't find his friend, so he started getting... Itchy.
Fancy. That's funny. I said itchy at the exact same time.
Right. So Martin goes to the IHOP and asks if anybody has seen him. Mm-hmm. And they say it has been since the beginning of the month, since the last time they saw him. Okay.
And nobody at work thought anything of it?
No, because it could have just been like he quit and didn't say anything. You know what I mean?
I guess I don't understand Floridians. No. No. Bigger towns. I don't understand bigger towns because, like, if I didn't show up for work for one day, I would have the cavalry on my lawn.
That is very true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like not showing up to a college class. You know, that's kind of what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I don't know why that said that. Scrap the whole thing. Throw it in the trash.
It's fine. It's fine. It's good.
Okay. So all of this is very out of character for Cordell. He's a very reliable employee. Okay. Which, if he's a reliable employee.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, why was IHOP not, like, calling him? Like, hey, you gonna show up today, buddy?
They might have been calling him, but okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so the police show up to do a welfare check, and they get no response. But they found a window that was slightly cracked. So an officer gets in.
Leave it in.
Uh-huh. Officer. And he says it looks a lot like a storage room. Like, there's just random things that you would necessarily leave behind. Like, you wouldn't leave behind. You know what I mean? They search and search, and they get to a locked bedroom with a deadbolt. And there was a towel shoved, like, in between the door crack and the floor. For like,
I really don't like where this is going.
Like ventilation purposes.
You know? I gotcha.
So the officers knock, and here enters 17-year-old Ronald Bell and his girlfriend, 17-year-old Crystal Mestes. Okay. She seemed to just be waking up from a nap. There was a sleeping bag on the floor that she was in.
They explained they were in the apartment.
Yes, they came out of that locker room.
Okay.
They explained that they had been subletting the room from Cordell. Crystal had been living there a couple months now since her parents kicked her out. Mm-hmm. And Ronald didn't live there and said he didn't know much of anything about Cordell, really. Crystal said she hadn't seen Cordell in weeks. She said that he came and he grabbed some court papers. He came and he grabbed some court papers in a hurry, and then he left without saying anything to her. But Cordell was a very liked man. People had nothing bad to say about him. His ex-wife did say that he was having some money problems, but that didn't lead anywhere. Like, it was just like he couldn't make ends meet, but it wasn't right.
Okay. Yeah.
So the police found that all to be true when they dug into his personal life. He was the caretaker of his grandparents. They were physically and monetarily reliable.
Like helping him out.
Yes.
Yeah. That
he was helping them out.
Oh, he was helping them out. Okay.
He was their sole primary caretaker.
Okay.
Physically, monetarily. So him going missing is not great for his grandparents.
Mm-mm.
Which, why didn't they call the police?
Yeah.
We don't know. So police are canvassing the area where the... We do. Okay. So police... police are canvassing the area. Go ahead and skip to the end. All right, they're canvassing the area where the body was found, and they are in the adjacent neighborhood, and they find someone who gives them a pretty solid lead. Donald and Robin Burden told the officers that in early February, they saw three teenagers in a car, both things they had never seen before. So they had never seen the teenagers, and they had never seen the car. I mean, they had
I thought you were going to say they had never seen a teenager, period. I was like, well, okay. Sure.
Okay, so alarms went off for them. They say it was a brown hatchback, and the rear right... I have a speech impediment. The rear right window was broken and covered with some sort of board. Okay?
Right.
Donald said it was a black male, a white female, and possibly another white male, but it could have been a female. So with no concrete leads, all the police could do was go back to the apartment with a search warrant. According to a forensic specialist, the apartment was very bare, like very bare. But it was even more strange that Cordell's bike was there because Cordell did not have a car. So he used his bike as his mode of transportation.
Okay.
With the new suspicion that Cordell was taken from the apartment, they have it sprayed with Luminol because they had the suspicion he was taken from the apartment because his bike was there.
Right. Okay. I'm following. Okay.
So they have the apartment sprayed with Luminol, and now they find, which Luminol is to find blood spatter.
Mm-hmm.
So they found blood spatter in the living room, and they also found bloody fingerprints and a bloody handprint. And the blood and the splatter patterns were consistent with blunt force trauma to the head.
Oh.
Interviews.
Ruh-roh, Shruby. He was killed in the apartment. Zoinks!
Hey everybody, my name is Brandon Harris, and I am a college athlete, and I have partnered with this really cool brand, Lifestyle. So if you need some inspiration to wear to make it through a tough workout, or just to make it through a rough day, they have you covered. Use promo code BRANDO, that's B-R-A-N-D-O, and get 10% off your order. You can find products at lifestylebands.com. Find your inspiration.
Okay, interviews start with the housemates Crystal and her boyfriend Ronald. Crystal told detectives that she had been dating Ronald for the last few months and that they were very much in love. And they're 17 years
old. Of course they are. They're Edward. They're probably. They're Edward and Bella.
Yeah.
Except Edward was like 107 or 20, whatever.
Yeah.
That's
she
gross.
Also told the cops. It's kind of crazy. She also told the cops that she was kicked out of her parents' house about a month earlier, and Ronald is the one who helped her find this sublease. Detective asked Crystal, they said, how's this living situation going? And she said, at first it was okay, but then Cordell's behavior kind of made her uncomfortable.
That's what I was just going to say. Like, how is it kosher for a 17-year-old to move in with a grown man?
I don't know why he would accept a sublease from a 17-year-old. Mm-mm. Okay.
Yeah.
She said it was inappropriate in a number of ways. For one, she was 17 and he was 31. Mm-hmm. And she was not interested in him at all. She alleged that he made inappropriate comments and would sometimes only come into her room in bikini bottoms, but just to talk. But who knows?
I just had a SpongeBob joke. So, bikini bottom.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. So we don't know if this is true. So we gotta keep that in mind.
Okay.
She said that he would leave when he was asked to, but on occasion he grabbed her and pushed her up against the wall. And she said that this was the second time that Cordell was physical with her.
Okay.
But in the other room, Ronald was telling detectives that he had just found out about the physical altercations, and he only knew because he saw the bruising on Crystal's back.
Oh.
After he learned what happened, he bought her the deadbolt for the door and told her to have friends sleep over so she would feel safer. Is it more safe? I think it's more safe.
More safe? It doesn't matter. Safer. Safer-er.
So she would feel safer-er mm-hmm. when he couldn't be there. Mm-hmm. And that friend would be Rena. Nope.
It wouldn't be Rena at all.
And that friend would be Renee Lynx.
Okay. Renee Lynx. Okay. That's a name.
It is. Mm-hmm. The detectives thought that Crystal and Ronald were being very disingenuous, and they were already skeptical of the couple when they found that Ronald's car had a very close resemblance to the car that the couple in the neighborhood had seen. Course.
Mm-hmm. Let the other shoe
they
drop.
Did a search. I know. They did a search of Ronald's car, but it didn't turn up with anything. The detectives questioned schoolmates, and it turns out that Ronald was absent from February 7th to February 5th. And Ronald asked to borrow. Nope.
February 5th to February 7th?
February
2nd. Oh, 2nd. Okay, 5th. I thought you said February 7th to February 5th. I'm like, we're going back in time? How does that work?
I might have. He was absent from the 2nd to the 5th, okay? And he also asked to borrow a truck during this time.
Okay.
A student told detective that Crystal and Ronald asked for help getting into a computer that wasn't theirs.
Mm.
And the same kid said that when they were taking him home from him helping them get into that computer, they were throwing out bags and bags of stuff from that apartment. Now, my little alarm bells would have went off.
Yeah, like, why are you throwing away everything?
Number one, we're littering.
Yeah.
And I'm very nervous.
Yeah, no kidding.
Number two, are there bones in that body? Are there bones in that bag?
Yeah, why are we throwing out bags and bags and bags of trash?
Mm. So detectives searched through the landfills, but that trash was long gone. On March 17th, the police received an anonymous call saying they had information on the death of Cordell Richards. The caller was very nervous and would only come forward if they were to remain anonymous.
Mm.
They were granted this, so he told the detectives in early February that his friend Renee Lynx told him that she and her friends Crystal and Ronald were planning to kill Cordell for making advances to Crystal. She just said it.
She's just like, hey, here it is.
She's just like, here, bud, this is what I'm doing today.
Yeah.
Without you.
Yeah.
Okay. Renee was interviewed, but she completely lied prior to this. So now detectives have a solid reason to arrest all three. Crystal, Ronald, and Renee.
Mm-hmm.
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 Crystal and Ronald were arrested at their high school, and Renee was arrested at a local animal shelter where she was doing community service for a previous parole violation.
Wait, they let parolees do volunteer work at animal shelters?
Yeah. Just because we're criminals, don't be. We don't love animals.
Okay.
All right. Why am I saying that like I'm a prisoner? I've never been to prison. Never even been to jail.
No, I just, I mean, yeah. It does it depend on the kind of offense? Like, it just got my noodle running. Like, sure. It does, I mean, violent offenses against, what if they were put in there for animal cruelty? They shouldn't be allowed. Oh, never mind. Just go.
You went with it. You ran. Okay. So Renee's mother had to break it down to Renee how serious this was and that she needed to take a plea deal because Renee was 15 years old.
Oh my God.
She did get that plea deal and she would plead guilty to manslaughter instead of murder if she confessed and if she would give the police the whole story.
Yeah. And So being as she was 15, are they prosecuting her as an adult or are they prosecuting her as a juvenile?
We'll get there.
Okay.
We'll get there.
All right.
Sorry. She told detectives, no, you're fine. You have questions. Perfectly natural. She told detectives she had met Ronald earlier that year and she was spending more and more time with Ronald and Crystal as of late. At the time, she wasn't getting along with her mom, so she had moved in with Crystal and Cordell. She would say that Cordell's comments made her uncomfortable as well, though. And for some reason, Cordell thought the two of the girls were in some sort of relationship, and Cordell suggested that they all sleep together.
I knew that was coming.
Hey. Gotta try, I guess.
Not with a 15 and a 17-year-old, you fucking You're right. sicko.
I redact my statement. I'm not.
Grown adults, yes, by all means.
Sure. Okay. So, that whole comment about them sleeping together was enough to make Renee leave the apartment for that night. She was like, I'm going to go ahead and get on out. So, February 2nd,
hey, Renee what a good comes friend. Back.
I know. I'm going to leave you here with the creep.
Yeah, just stay here, Crystal.
Mm-hmm. So, February 2nd, Renee comes back. Ronald comes over. And they come up with a plan of an idea of beating up or killing Cordell.
There's no in between. We're going to beat him up right. Or we're going to kill him.
Or we're going to kill him. There's no gray area.
No.
Cordell was very pissed by the advances. No. Not Cordell. Ronald. Ronald was very pissed by the advances that Cordell was making. Doing.
And yeah.
Yes. And he said Cordell needed to learn a lesson. Crystal agreed and said if they did kill him, they could stay in the apartment for the rest of the month because it's been paid. And if they needed extra money, she said they could sell off his stuff.
Solid plan, girl.
Yeah. She's got it worked out.
What the fuck?
She's got her... No, she's good. Okay.
Wow.
Renee said she knew for sure they were going to kill him when they came back from Walmart with a rope, a chain, and a lock.
And that's on self-checkout. Oh, okay, stop. Let's interject the little discussion we had the other day about
the self-checkout.
About what you do and like how what you would do if you got an order for. Do you not remember this conversation?
Oh, I'm not following. If I got an
order. Say you're out there.
Oh yeah, like if we ever got an order from a serial killer and I have to pick up like duct tape and
yeah,
like tarps.
Yeah,
and
what would you do?
I don't really know. I'm so ask just to like, send a little chat. Like, are you murdering with these?
So just like, if you don't know, Hannah does what do you call it?
Instacart. Instacart.
And Hannah does Instacart. So yeah, we were talking about this the other day that somebody could just like order up murder supplies and have them delivered to their house.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then their face would never be seen on video.
Mine
picking
would.
Up the yeah. And Hannah would be arrested.
That's fine.
It was fucked up. I'm like, yeah, it was mm-hmm. something fucked up to think about. I'm like, wait, what
Service
if?
In Atlanta.
What if? What if?
Honestly, it's been done. Had to have been.
Mm-hmm.
Had to have been
done. All right, go on with the story. Sorry to interrupt.
Okay. So Renee said that the same evening, Ronald called his friend Calvin Smith, and he asked for his help. Smith said he couldn't sneak out that night, so he couldn't help. Okay?
Okay.
So Crystal called her friend Demetrius, and his answer was that he might help beat someone up, but he's not going to kill someone. But if he changed his mind, he would page them. Okay? Fucking crazy.
What are these kids are just nonchalantly just like, hey, if I, you know, yeah. I'm not really a murderer, but if I change my mind, I'll just give you a little buzz.
Yeah, I'll shoot you on the hip. So they couldn't find help for that night. So their efforts for that night were bust and they gave up.
Okay.
Ronald headed home, but said to Paige if anything happened. The girls received a call from someone saying her name was Heather and that she was Cordell's girlfriend and that she wanted them to kiss. Okay. Turns out it was Cordell on the line in the other room. Okay. So they go and confront him.
Uh-huh.
And quote unquote, it didn't go well. That's all we know. It didn't go well. So now they're back in Crystal's room.
Mm-hmm.
They page Ronald. He shows up soon after that. And as soon as he heard what was happening, he went to confront Cordell in the living room. He said Cordell was kind of inching his way towards the front door.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Ronald shoved him and wrestled him into a headlock. He told Crystal to get the baseball bat. So
acid reflux.
I should probably eat something.
I haven't either. I've had some muffins in a bag over here.
Mentally ill. So Crystal hit him first with the bat. First she did it weakly, and then at first it was weakly at his legs, but then she hit him hard in the temples.
Mm.
And that hit knocked his glasses off and split his skin.
Okay, now stop. This is all coming from Renee, right?
This is coming from Renee, okay, yes. Okay. This part of the story, okay. Yes. So Renee watched Cordell lose consciousness from the headlock, and at that point, all three of them had tied him up with ropes and wrapped him in blankets, and he's not dead, okay? They just put him in the back of Ronald's car and drove to that neighborhood's cul-de-sac.
Mm-hmm.
They drug his body into the woods, and Crystal said that they should kill him by lighting him on fire.
Ugh.
And Renee said that they used a can of lighter fluid that Ronald had in his car. Renee said it was her idea to get his ATM pin before they caught him on fire so that they could steal his cash. Okay. At least they're thinking.
No, I can't wrap my head around teenagers saying, let's burn this man alive.
Yeah, there was something sinister going on there. It was something a lot deeper than just,
right.
He came on to me, let's kill him.
Right.
That's crazy.
It's fucking batshit.
Can you imagine the men that would be dead? Because they
there'd
came
be
on
no
us?
Men. No.
Ugh!
I'm kidding.
There'd be no men
left.
Okay.
Not saying it was right or anything, but it definitely doesn't justify homicide.
No. They removed the blanket, and he agreed to give them the PIN number, and he begged them not to kill him. Ronald was angered by this pleading, and he started hitting him with the bat. Renee said that Ronald hit Cordell so hard that he made a comment that he was Babe Ruth.
Ew.
Mm-hmm. They drug him further into the woods and then chained him to a tree. Ronald chained him up, and Crystal lit him on fire.
Is this the Salem witch trials? Why are we lighting live people on fire? That is, what the fuck?
And where are their kids? Honestly. Once the sun comes up, they went back to check on the body, and Renee waited in the car. They were sure to find him dead, but no, he was still alive and faintly calling out for help. Can you imagine? Mm. After being caught on fire and beat with a bat?
No.
Oh, my God.
No.
So they were worried the construction crew was going to find him there because they were building houses in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So Ronald attempts to break Cordell's neck, but he wasn't able to. And I, what? It's something about the skin and the fire mm-hmm. and just not being able to get leverage. Mm-hmm. That's fucked. Okay. Renee said they got back into the car and immediately drove to purchase a meat cleaver. And, you know, when I think meat cleaver, I thought of those things that you pound the shit out of meat with to flatten it.
Yeah, that's not
it's it. Not, it's not. It's a chop chop. It's a giant butcher knife. Yeah,
a chop chop, not a slam okay. slam.
Right. So they go back to the woods, and Ronald used the meat cleaver to cut Cordell's throat. And that's where the chop injury came from. So he just kind of like, what's that? Yeah. They drove back home, cleaned the meat cleaver, and returned it for a refund.
Oh my God. So the
police.
Oh my God.
So the police. Yes. So the police were able to get The police were able to get surveillance, and all three teens were seen purchasing and returning this meat cleaver. They also located the woman.
How did they ever think of that?
I don't know. They also located the woman who bought the meat cleaver and had to tell her she'd been using a murder weapon to cut with for a month.
Oh my God.
Isn't that crazy?
Now I'm just, that just flabbergasts me. Like, how many murder weapons are in my house?
Right. They took the cleaver into evidence, but thanks to Dawn Power Wash, it was clean. Yeah. Like,
Dawn Power, sponsored by Dawn Power Wash.
Okay. After they were all certain he was dead, they went back to the apartment. Okay. Calvin Smith comes over and helps them forge checks in Cordell's name, and they pawn his belongings, getting the most for his violin. And that's sad.
That is very sad. Violin.
Crystal confessed her part, but told them that she was the one to wait in the car, not Renee. But Crystal gave herself up when she said that Ronald put duct tape over his mouth and cut his throat because Renee didn't know about the duct tape.
Okay, yeah.
So that gave her up. Crystal said that a week after, they thought they had left too much evidence in the woods, so her and Ronald and her 14-year-old sister April went back, where Ronald covers the body again in lighter fluid and lights him on fire. Mm. And that's how those maggots mm-hmm. got charred. Mm-hmm. 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 Anytime Crystal or her sister were nervous, Ronald would say, "It's okay. Just remember what he did. He deserves this." Police also arrested Crystal's sister, April. She was charged with accessory to murder after the fact, mm-hmm. but the charges were later dropped. Ronald, Crystal, and Renee were all held in juvenile detention center in Pensacola, Florida. And they all ruled that they would all three be tried as adults. And then there was some kerfuffle over that decision because the Florida Supreme Court had ruled that anyone under the age of 16 would not be tried as an adult. So Renee ends up being judged as a juvenile.
Mm.
And she was given a shorter sentence because of this. Because Renee was offered a plea deal, she pled no contest to the lesser count of manslaughter, as well as false imprisonment. She was sentenced to the max. She was sentenced to the max at the time of 15 years in prison.
Mm.
Okay, she was released after 12 years in 2012. So Renee is on the street.
Okay, and that would make at that point she was 15.
12 years later,
27 years old.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Life still there for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, just mm-hmm. just starting.
Just kill a man and come back. That's mm-hmm. fine. Fucking crazy. Crystal went to trial a year after the murder, and she sobbed through the whole thing, especially when they were explaining Cordell's injuries. Like, she sobbed like she didn't know. Like, you didn't just, you didn't do that to him.
Weren't there. Like, what happened?
Right. Prosecutors called her, Crystal, an enraged killer seeking revenge for a sexual advance. It came out that Crystal ended up mocking Cordell as he was dying, saying, "How does it feel?" Her defense attorney painted a picture of a girl caught up in a situation she just couldn't control, calling her a crying, passive bystander.
Okay. No.
Great.
No.
She placed all of the blame on Ronald.
Of course.
And she never personally got behind the bench and testified.
Mm-hmm.
Never got behind there. Renee also blamed it all on Ronald.
Of course.
Crystal was sentenced to life without parole.
Good.
And Ronald Bell, his trial started in March of 2000. The defense argued it had just gotten out of control. Calvin Smith, though, told the court that this wasn't the first time Ronald asked him to help kill someone.
No.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Ronald was found guilty of one count of armed kidnapping and first-degree murder, and he was sentenced to death.
I forget that Florida has the death penalty.
Mm-hmm. He appealed, and since he was very young, I guess they were lenient, and they changed it to life without parole.
Okay.
In 2019, both Crystal and Ronald appealed, and they were resentenced to life without parole.
Good, good, good.
And that's the story of Cordell Richards.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Just the teenage aspect of it just blows my mind.
It's crazy how they have so much gall.
Yeah, it's almost, I mean, I know a lot of people, psychology wise, will argue this, that, you know, like, the teenage brain is not developed enough to be able to, you know,
make a proper decision.
Yeah, but
they should know the difference between murder,
right, and
beating someone,
right,
up. That's pretty crazy.
But the fact that he had asked his friend to help before, like,
yeah,
like, we really, yeah, probably.
And why was he still friends with him after?
Yeah. Like, hey, murder bugs? Like,
I've never had anybody ask me to help somebody kill.
No.
Or kill, like, you know what I mean? Right. Like, that's fucking crazy.
The audacity.
That's fucking crazy.
That makes me think that, like, it's like, that Ronald would have gone on to kill somebody.
Or if it wasn't Cordell, it was going to be
somebody else. Or, you know, and he would have probably kept going if he'd not been caught. Mm-hmm.
That's the general consensus on Ronald, mm-hmm, that it was going to happen. It's really the consensus on all three that it was going to happen, whether it was Cordell or not. Mm-hmm. So there's videos of Crystal, like, now,
mm-hmm,
in jail, and there's a video of her reading, like, a letter she wrote to his parents, mm-hmm, and his parents are just stone cold. And I'm like, oh, damn, they went through so much. Yeah. And now this girl is like, I'm sorry. Yeah. And they literally, like, roll their eyes at her. So.
Wow.
Watch your teenagers, folks.
Yeah.
Maybe don't give them a debit card. That's fucking crazy.
Or maybe if you're going to give them a debit card, maybe keep track of what they're buying. Like, if it says meat cleaver, maybe you should check in with them.
You know they don't help you cook. All right, guys. That's it for us for this week. You know, that's it. So you can find us on our socials. That's not good. True Crime Podcast. On our Patreon. You can leave us a review.
Send us a DM in Instagram. I have stickers available for people that reach out, give us stories, give us feedback, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to do it, do it.
And we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye. Stay away from psychopaths that murder in the woods.
Mm-hmm. Bye.